Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom-quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's GHIRELLI.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Wait a minute! 60 Seconds of Reflection with Martha Fernandez Sardina.
Via Crucis, the way of the cross. We celebrate that or relive it or walk it every Good Friday, including this year. Why? Because Jesus walked his way to the cross. And the beautiful things that happened, painful things that happened on the way to the cross, are reminders to us of how we too must walk on this earth as we walk to the heavenly Jerusalem, which is heaven, which is communion with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever. Maybe you're carrying a cross. Maybe you have difficulties. Maybe you have fallen not once, not twice, but thrice like Jesus. Maybe you need Simon of Cyrene, someone to come and help you bear the weight of your cross. Maybe you need to see the face of your mother, our Mother Mary, to help you. Maybe you, like Jesus, are under the weight of the cross and don't know what to do. Give yourself to Christ. Take in the way of the cross this Good Friday. He will lift you high.
For more information about Martha, visit MarthaFernandezSardina.com.
Hello and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm your host, Gary Zimak, and I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. I hope you'll be able to settle in, relax, because we're going to talk about Jesus. You know, this is a very special weekend, and we are literally on a roller coaster of emotion. We're contemplating the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for our benefit. He died so that the gates of heaven could be open. And then we have that day of waiting, Holy Saturday, when we wait for something incredibly special to happen. Then on Easter Sunday, what happens? Jesus rises from the dead. And over the course of this program, I want to help you to experience the hope of the risen Christ while not ignoring the fact that Christ did die. He did die. He did suffer. But many times we live our lives as if that resurrection didn't happen. But you know, here's the interesting thing. If we look in the Bible, this is not the first time it's been done. Other people have lived their lives as if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and they were miserable. Today, we're going to look at the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. But there is suffering that we experience every day. Absolutely. How do we reconcile those two things? We'll talk about it in the program. And I would like to welcome some new stations that are now airing the Gary Zimak Show. WQNO in New Orleans, WPYR in Baton Rouge, and WJTA in Glendorf, Ohio. It's so exciting to see this program now being aired on so many Catholic stations, in addition to the various podcast networks. For more information about the program and about my work, you can find out about my books and how to book me to speak at your parish or conference, just visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. And also, if you'd like to email me to let me know what you think about the program. And incidentally, I would really appreciate if you would let me know how you like the program. You can email me directly, either by going to the website, followingthetruth.com, and contacting me there, or you can just send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. One of the greatest privileges that I have when I do this program is that you and I can pray together. This is very important to me. So why don't we do that now before we go any further? And I would ask you to recognize the fact that wherever you are, wherever you are listening to this program, you're in the presence of the Lord. That is a really cool privilege. Let's acknowledge that, and let's turn to Him right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. You have given us another day of life. We are so grateful. So many times, Father, we ignore this blessing of a new day. We get so caught up in the problems and the struggles of life, the turmoil going on in the world, that we forget to say thank you. So right now we say thank you, Father, for sustaining our lives, because we know without you, our lives would not go on. You continue to sustain us day by day, and we're grateful for that. We thank you for that gift, Father. Thank you for allowing our hearts to continue beating and for the ability for us to be able to turn to you in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who came to earth, lived among us, died on the cross, and rose from the dead so that we could live with you forever, eternally. Thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. Father, we also thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And right now I ask you to pour forth your Spirit, increase your Spirit in each of us now, so that we may be able to hear your message for us on this program. And I ask you to use me as your instrument, Father in heaven, to allow your Spirit to speak through me today, to deliver the message that you want to be delivered on this show. We lift up all of our needs, whatever they may be. We ask you to draw us closer to you as we celebrate this sacred time in the liturgical year. We celebrate the Triduum, in which your Son died and rose from the dead so that we could live with you forever in heaven. We ask you to draw us closer to you through this holy period, and we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, now I'm feeling a lot better. I hope you are as well. So just settle in and let's talk a little bit about Jesus and how we often live our lives as if the resurrection didn't occur. It's true, isn't it? We walk around, we're in a fog, we're feeling downcast, we're miserable, we get hung up over our problems. And don't think I don't do this. I have to catch myself all the time, because we sometimes lose sight of the fact that Christ rose from the dead and that he wants us to be at peace, and that he can do all things, and that he loves us unconditionally. You know, you start thinking about those things and all of a sudden your perspective changes. So let's talk a little bit about that. And I said there's a biblical precedent for what we're about to discuss, and there absolutely is. You see this many times in the Bible, but today, if you have your Bible handy, I would ask you to maybe get it out. If not, just chill, relax. I'll give you the verses that we'll discuss later so that you'll be able to know where to turn after this. And I always like to say to you, after the program is done, please take the time to review these Bible passages. Just look them over and let the Lord speak to you through Scripture. We're going to go to Luke's Gospel today, the very last chapter, Luke 24. And this picks up after Christ has been murdered on the cross and he's been buried. This picks up on the first day of the week. Essentially, this is the very first Easter Sunday. And as a starting point, I don't want to deny the fact that Jesus did die. That was a very, very sad event. I don't want to downplay it. I certainly want to give you hope. I want to talk about the resurrection. But I would feel guilty if I didn't at least allude to the fact that Christ died for our sins. He didn't die because he had sins. He died out of love for you and out of love for me. And that's a starter right there if you're having a bad day. Think about the fact that Jesus Christ voluntarily, he did this voluntarily, he laid down his life for you so that you didn't have to be up on that crucifix and I didn't have to be up on that crucifix. Man, I'll tell you, that is real love. And he did that. So we look at Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Jesus had been murdered, he'd been buried, and this is what happened. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now keep in mind, the women were there to anoint the body of Jesus. It seems like everybody missed the point of what Christ said. He said that he would die and rise from the dead. Very clearly he said that, but so many people didn't get that. You know, you and I miss that all the time, even though we know the story. We're looking back with 2,000 years of hindsight, but the people here who are going through this, they're living it. They don't have a Bible to turn to. They don't have a New Testament. They don't have the Gospels to look at. To help them remember what's happening. They are living this. So it's understandable that they're a little confused. So the women, they go into the tomb and they do not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, try to put yourself in their place. What happened to him? Where do you think he went? Did they steal his body? Do you think any of them possibly thought of the fact that, wait, Jesus did say that he would rise from the dead? I think so many times, and we're guilty of this too, we hear the Lord say things just as they did. For God, all things are possible. I will rise from the dead. And we look at our lives, we look at the problems in our lives, and we don't think that there's any possible way that the Lord can perform miracles. But he does it. He does it every day. Let's not sell him short. He can do amazing things in our lives. We just have to trust him. So they're wondering about this, and suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Try to picture that. That's an amazing picture. In their fright, the women are afraid here, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here now. He has risen." I mean, these probably angels are very clear about what happened. The Lord has risen. Remember how he told you. See, he's refreshed. The angels are refreshing their memory. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then, the Bible tells us, they remembered his words. How many times do we forget the words of Jesus? How many times do we forget in an emergency situation that arises in our lives that he said all things are possible with him? How many times do we forget the Lord Jesus saying, "Come to me, you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? How many times do we forget Jesus saying, "Be not afraid"? We do it all the time, and that's why we panic. Sometimes we need a reminder like this. That's why the scriptures are so beautiful, because we can let the Lord speak to us and remind us of all the great things that he said and all that he promised. And then when we begin to read that, and sometimes it occurs to us in prayer, when we just prayerfully sit with the Lord, what happens? We begin to feel that peace. We begin to remember, ah, yes, he did say that. So the Lord was clear about what had to happen. He had to be crucified and on the third day be raised again. And what I would tell you about that is, if you are struggling right now, if you've got a problem in your life and it just doesn't seem to be getting any better, give it time. Continue to pray. Jesus didn't rise on the first day nor the second day. He rose on what? The third day. The Lord has his own schedule. That drives us crazy, I know, but he's got his own schedule. Give him time. He knows what he's doing. Sometimes we pray for something in our lives. I've done this. It's so frustrating, but I've done it. And after a while, we just assume, okay, it hasn't happened. I'm just going to stop praying. The Lord's probably saying no. Absolutely wrong. That's absolutely the wrong approach, because when he says no, he says no. But if he doesn't answer, or if he somehow indicates that the time isn't right by not giving you a definitive answer, you better keep praying, because that's how our faith grows. That's why he delays sometimes. Sometimes it also has to do with other people. The time might be right for you, but the time might not be right for somebody else in your life, or who would be affected by what you're praying for. So please continue to pray. Remember, it took 3 days for the Lord to rise from the dead. So now the women remembered the words, and when they came back from the tomb, we are told, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Now, what do you think would happen? The apostles are hiding. They're fearful. Their master was killed. They think they're next. They may have lost all hope because Jesus was crucified. And remember, throughout the Gospels, we see people misunderstood Jesus. They misunderstood his kingship. They thought he was going to come as an earthly ruler. So many people overlooked what had really taken place. They overlooked the scriptures, and they weren't able to look, because in the Old Testament, this was very clear. It was very clear that the Messiah would be sent, his characteristics, that he would be born in Bethlehem. And so many people looked at Jesus and thought, he's not from Bethlehem. He was from Nazareth, but he was actually born in Bethlehem. They didn't think it through. We do the same thing when we begin to panic about the problems in our lives. So here they are, these disciples who they're afraid, and these women come back saying, look, he did what he said. He rose from the dead. This is what the angels reminded us of this fact. He rose from the dead. How did they react? Luke 24, verse 11. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Wow. You know, we do the same thing, don't you? And how many times do we try to express our faith to other people, saying that, I know this is going to work out. I'm praying about it. And somebody will say to us, what, are you kidding me? That's not going to work out. The Lord doesn't do things like this. You better fix it yourself, and so on and so forth. Don't be discouraged. But take comfort in the fact that this has happened before. Here these women are saying the Lord did rise from the dead. They're looking at an empty tomb, but they tell this story to other people, and they don't believe it. We can look at the empty tomb and look at it in a number of different ways. You can look at it through the eyes of faith and say, he did rise from the dead. Or you can look at it and say, somebody must have stole his body. How do you look at the words of Christ? That's an important question that we all should ask ourselves. Do we look at our problems as somehow an expression of the Lord's love for us, and that this is necessary to help us? Or do we just complain, thinking that he doesn't love me? Again, let's go back to that crucifixion and think about the fact that he died voluntarily for your eternal salvation. I'll tell you, that is an expression of love. So now here we have the women are not believed, but Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. See, Peter, he had to check this out for himself. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now, how is Peter feeling about this? He's pondering this. Is he thinking, I don't get this. What happened to him? Somebody must have taken him. What kind of trickery is this? Or, at this point, is Peter beginning to believe and be comforted by the fact that Jesus did indeed do what he said and rose from the dead? We don't know. How would you react to that? I think it tells us a lot about how much we believe when we look at a situation like this, and we look at it as if, oh, well, the Lord didn't come through. He didn't come through for me. And we can look at this in a modern-day situation in our own life, too. You pray about something, you get an answer that you didn't expect or maybe don't like. How do you look at it? Do you look at it negatively, or do you look at it that this must be something even better? I will tell you this. Learning to change your outlook and looking for the positive, that requires grace and it requires time. You will not change overnight. I still struggle with this. Through the Lord's grace, I've gotten better. I'm able to trust the Lord more than I did when I first started walking with him. But I still struggle sometimes. So it's okay. It's a process. Continue to ask for that increased trust so that you can believe that he has your best interest in mind at all times. And eventually, it'll work. I promise. If I can do it, you can as well. So now we're at Luke 24, verse 13. And this is one of my favorite biblical stories. It's the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, this takes place just after this empty tomb incident. So keep in mind the fact that the word hasn't gotten around that Jesus rose from the dead. But that's what happened. So I want to keep this in mind. I want you to keep this in mind as we go forward. Jesus had risen from the dead. Death has been destroyed at this point. This is really good news, but not everybody's getting it. We don't know if Peter got it. We don't know if the disciples certainly don't believe it, don't appear to have gotten it. The women, I think they understand now. But there are some people that still are looking at that empty tomb and living their life as if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And you know what? That's you and I sometimes. Let's be honest. We live our lives that way. Verse 13. Now on that same day, this is the first Easter, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Now let's picture this. We have these two disciples traveling on the road to Emmaus, which is a town, a village, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus is walking with them. And the way this unfolds is really, really neat. So let's read a little more. Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Now, obviously, Jesus knows what they were discussing because he's divine. But honestly, I would say this, that when Jesus is asking this question, he knows, but we're now going to have the benefit of getting the answer. We're going to get the answer from Jesus, or from the disciples, and gives us an insight as to what they were thinking. "What were you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. Did you catch that? Their faces are downcast. They're bummed out. Even though the risen Jesus is walking next to them. That is so important because the same thing happens to us all the time. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, and I love this question, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Can you imagine asking the risen Jesus that? Are you the only person who doesn't know what happened? And what does Jesus say? What things? And again, this gives us an insight as to what these disciples are thinking. And they reply, "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him." Okay, so far, very factual. But now here's the very insightful part. And it's a good thing Jesus asked these questions, because now we're getting an idea as to how these guys are missing the point. "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." Wow. They completely missed that Jesus said, prior to his crucifixion, that he would be crucified and that he would rise on the third day. But they still don't seem to understand it. They still don't seem to understand what is going on. "In addition," and they go on to say, "in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." Now keep this in mind. These disciples told the story of what happened at the empty tomb. They were obviously aware of the fact that Jesus said that he would have to be crucified and on the third day would rise from the dead. We have women who went to the tomb. They knew that the women went to the tomb The angels reminded them of Jesus' words. Why did they still not put it together? Wait a minute. He rose from the dead. They were downcast. They were depressed. They were bummed out. They were living as if the resurrection never happened. You and I do that so many times, don't we? Why do we get upset about the little things in life? And let's face it, and I'm not downplaying suffering, but in the big picture, they are all little things. But we do it. How did Jesus respond? In verse 25, he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. In other words, he opened up the Bible and said, look, it's all here. That's why the Bible is so great for us. The Lord speaks to us through the Bible. If you need comfort in life, make sure you're reading some form of scripture every day. The daily mass readings. Read the Old Testament. Read the New Testament. It's so important that you open the Bible and let the Lord speak to you. And as they were approaching the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Now, this is really cool. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" In other words, they're saying to one another, how could we be so dumb? We're walking with Jesus, and we don't even know it. That hurts, doesn't it? Because, yep, we do it all the time. Notice also that Jesus spoke to them through the scriptures, and also in the breaking of the bread, that's when they first realized it was him. Scriptures, breaking of the bread, sounds like mass, doesn't it? If you can get to daily mass, maybe once extra, besides your Sunday obligation, twice, three times. If you could do it every day, that's fantastic. It will change your life. By going to daily mass, you're going to encounter Jesus in a deeper way than you ever thought possible. This is what happened. They were at mass. That's what opened their eyes to the risen Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you better appreciate what's going on at mass. And we'll talk more about this in future programs, because I think it's important for us to understand. A lot of times we go through the motions, don't we? We go through the motions. We take our problems to church with us. And we worry not only through the mass, we worry when we come home. We're not changed. We need to be changed. These disciples were changed. What did they do? Verse 33, they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. They evangelized. That's what happens. And that's what we should all be doing after we meet the risen Jesus. We all have that opportunity. So let's make it a point today to do that, to sit for a few minutes and to encounter the risen Jesus and say, "Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross and for rising from the dead. And now, Lord, help me to trust you more so I can live my life as if you really did rise from the dead." That's a great story, isn't it? And again, that's Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. It's the very last chapter in Luke's gospel. Make sure you check it out. And I really think it's a great meditation for this weekend. We are just about out of time. I want to thank you for listening to the program. Again, if you want to find out more about the work that I do, if you want to make a donation to help me sustain my full-time ministry, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. I would love to come to your parish or your conference. I travel around the country sharing the good news. My area of specialty is overcoming worry with the help of Jesus Christ. So I'd love to bring that message to your parish. Please let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Again, my website is followingthetruth.com. Or you can email me directly at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Once again, I thank you for tuning in to the Gary Zimek Show. Remember, when you start to face the problems in your life, there is always hope. Why? Because Jesus is risen. Have a blessed Easter, and I'll talk to you next time.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.